you can find a echo chamber for whatever you believe is right. So if you think that there is this way of disciplining a child, you can find a bunch of people that are communicating that as much authority as the next person.
Right.
And on the other side, you can find the same amount of stuff. And so it's like, what is true? Where is the level of people that have gone in and had training or developed expertise in a specific field that then you can rely on?
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Dr. Cam Lawson. Dr. Cam is a strategic communication expert dedicated to helping entrepreneurs unlock their full potential. With a wide range of experience spanning from startups to global brands, Cam has honed his experience in marketing and communication strategies across various industries. He's a jack of all trades and probably a master of some. Speaking of masters, he holds an MBA. And not MBA, not NBA. So we're not talking basketball. Although we might. Let's not rule that out. But he has his MBA and PhD in communication and is passionate about fostering human-centered communication that drives meaningful connections and sustainable business growth. Welcome to the show, Cam.
Man, thank you so much. Yeah, MBA, that would have been cool. I'm 6'4", so like I probably had a shot, but I'm not quick enough. So I played forward in high school, and I just 6'4 is not forward height in the NBA, so I had no chance.
Apparently not. Really. Yeah, you'd be more point guard material.
Yeah, yeah. So changed the N to the M and got the MBA, went the business route. So probably a good call.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, it would have been a lot cool. Be a lot cooler if you went. No, I'm just kidding. Well, tell me today, Cam, what is on your mind?
Man, we were chatting before this, and I had some thoughts of what I would, but actually it's a funny story. I went to Barnes & Noble yesterday, and I love to go to bookstores and walk around and see all the new books and whatnot, and had ended up purchasing something actually for my son. Just got him a little prize, got him some Legos. I love Legos. Just got some Legos behind me. Can't beat them. You never grow out of them. And I ended up getting I just paid in cash and I got a 50 back, and I went and used that 50 for some lunch. I picked up some lunch, and the people at the restaurant were like, hey, this 50 is not real. This is a fake 50. And so I went back and was like, hey, I believe you have given me the wrong change at Barnes & Noble. And they were like, oh my gosh, yes, we did. Here's a new 50. And took some time for them to run through things. So as I was walking around, I came across this book, The Anxious Generation.
Ooh.
It's called How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. I was like,
well, hot dang.
That sounds fascinating. And I sent it to some of my friends, and they were like, you read so deep. And I was like, yeah, because why not? Why would I not want to? And
well, you're legally obligated to if you have a PhD.
That's true.
That's part of the contract.
There comes a point where you start to, but it taps into really a lot of my research of studying how these influences, these structures around us are influencing us in a negative way. And so I decided to dive into that. So I have a son. He's 4 years old at the time of this recording. It's very much on my mind of what kind of world is he going to grow up in with AI, with social media continues to run rampant. And I'm starting to believe, again, we can dive into that because that's where my research was focused. But really understanding the impact of that, of how that's going and influencing the way that we behave. I took it from an incivility standpoint. I'm just fascinated with how people are rude to one another on social media, but also the impact that, hey, Gen Z, a generation before my son, grew up on that. And has that been beneficial? I don't know. Time will tell. So that's a lot that's been on my mind. So that book was just, I had time while they were getting my new 50, and I ended up spending $50 more. So, but here's what it is.
I was gonna say, you got paid to read. That's cool. Okay. No, that I think about that a lot. I have, again, at the time of this recording, a 15, 14, 12, about to be 12-year-old. That was the second one. I wasn't correcting it. So I'm about to have 4 teenagers here soon in the house, and then a 3.5-year-old. And it is everywhere you look. That's a deep cut for somebody out there that's going to pick up on that. Great TV show. But yes. I think about that regularly as well. And for the listeners that don't know, Cam and I were talking about our education and whatnot. I have a bachelor's in communication. I've started working on my master's at some point. And so I also think about the meta narrative of like how we talk about how we talk, which is something unique only humans do. Like dogs aren't thinking about, hey, why do we bark this way? Maybe they do, and I just don't understand what they're saying. I'm waiting for the day where it's like an up where they get the collar and we can understand what they're saying. And we probably will be displeased with what we hear.
We thought we loved you. Like,
yeah. Like, no, you're going, nope, you're an outside dog now after if you're going to use that kind of language right. In this house. But I don't know. I mean, there's memes about it that make fun of it is like, hey, please forgive me for not responding to your text message. I'm going through a 24/7 onslaught of information with a brain that was meant to gather berries.
Yes.
Oh, so man. Is that in whether it's your research or just observation or even in that book, what are you seeing as the thinking or maybe the prevailing wisdom? Because it's not like we've put some boundaries around social media and some things like you got to be 13 or older or whatever. And not that I think that's doing a whole hell of a lot. I think it's more to appease governance requirements from governments. But what do you see as the thinking? Or is it just we literally have to wait and see because this is such a substantial shift. We won't know if this is good or bad for another 30 years or something like that.
Yeah, it's a good question. I've thought a lot about it, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm the end all be all here, but there is I see as we continue to go down this digitalized world, right? Where mm-hmm. you have social media is taking form. Even work is becoming increasingly more remote. Coming out of COVID, we saw a lot of that. We have AI on the scene now that is mm-hmm. rapidly, that's the buzzword now. Everyone's talking about it.
Right.
And you start to see this increase of all these digital technologies coming in and influencing us. And I'm starting to see, and I wonder if the trajectory of society will be more of a push towards community-related things. I see that in a lot of younger people, millennials, Gen Z. You start to see, even if we talk from a religious standpoint, I think a majority of people go to church for the community that is offered there because it's one of the only few places that still is a gathering of people on a regular basis. And so I think you're starting to see a little bit because that is something that is very deeply woven into our souls, right? We have this idea of communal living. You referenced it at the beginning. I'm wired to go pick berries. We did that in the context of communities. And so I think there's something to be said. If you look at the trajectory of technological advancement, need what? Let's just take the internet. We'll just take just 2000 as an easy number, right? That's just when it blew up, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're 25 years in. Can you imagine? Yeah. I think 25 years ago where we were at and the amount of things that have happened in that, our brains have not been able to keep up. And so I think there's something to be said about maybe slowing down. Obviously, technology is not going to slow down, but I think the way that we respond to that and we bring stuff in, there's something to be said about. I was having a conversation the other day with somebody, and I here's an example. My son had grabbed the TV remote the other day and hit some button and did something crazy on the TV. No idea what happened. It was not working anymore. And so instead of going to Google, I went to ChatGPT and just put it in. I was like, hey, I have this TV. I have this specific issue. What's going on? And it was like, here's what you need to do step by step. And I just followed it and TV works now. And so we have information at our fingertips at any given moment. And in that situation, it was very, very helpful. But sometimes I do wonder if us sitting with not knowing is sometimes not a bad thing where it's, hey, I can Google or ChatGPT now or use whatever type of thing to go in and find answers. And instead, maybe we should have more of what we're doing right now of conversations, which is where the communication thing comes in. And we actually have to work a little bit or go to an individual to find information instead of just always relying on, let me just type in my address to my phone. Maybe I could call. It's something like that kind of thinking that isn't necessarily going back to an archaic way of doing things.
Sure.
But it's understanding these structures and the things that we put in place maybe aren't necessarily the most beneficial long term. And that's where it goes into my curiosity on raising another generation. Okay, how do I go in and nurture that kind of curiosity that I feel like is being lacking now?
Because either you think, well, I don't need to really research that because I can always, I could type it into a system, or which I think is dangerous, and I'll explain why in a second. Or because we have so much access, it sounds like you're saying you've observed people are not okay with not knowing. Like, just being like, I'm not supposed to know everything. Like,
yeah.
I'm just supposed to know about, like, fruits and nuts and berries and whether or not this mastodon's going to kill my family. Like, depending on where you live. But sure. I think there, one, I love the idea of how could we come together and reason. That's been the method of sharpening our knowledge throughout human history is we get together, whether it is in universities or it's in religious institutions or it's just in volunteering a community group or you just have a close group of friends. And we discuss, hey, I'm seeing that I've read that. What have you read? Well, what do we think about it? And discovering what we think instead of being told what to think. So I think that's one issue. The other is with AI, it writes it because it seems like it's gone and done the work versus Google is just like, hey, here's the best things we could find, or at least the people who have the best ability to perform SEO. But AI seems like, oh, no, it's considered everything and it's confident, but it hallucinates a lot and makes things up on a regular basis. My concern, and I'd be curious what your thoughts have been here, is if we haven't done the work to really dive into authoritative, proven texts, talked with people who are authorities, who have already done the research first to at least have a basic foundation in whatever topic we're talking about, how much easier then is it for us to be led astray by the systems and the electronics and whether it's Google or not? Because I think the problem there was, well, they did good SEO. How am I supposed to know if this is accurate? Was this thorough? Because even in that, I'd have to go and find an expert and say, hey, I found this. Is this a reputable source? Should I trust this? I was looking up some stuff for our 3.5-year-old who we're taking through the diagnostic process for autism. And one of my clients happens to be a PhD psychologist. She's done this. And I was like, hey, what are some reputable sources I should pay attention to? Because if I just go and look for information on autism in young children, I can find any number of things, but they may be wackadoos who've written really great indexed articles, but it's not something I should really be leaning on. How are you processing through that, whether for just yourself or when you were doing research or even for your kid?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, because I think you start to see this in the social media space, right? Because we have almost leveled the playing field of taking anyone that wants to have a voice and has some marketing chops or maybe some luck, and they can go in and talk. Because at the end of the day, let's be real, whether it's online or social media, you can find a echo chamber for whatever you believe is right. So if you think that there is this way of disciplining a child, you can find a bunch of people that are communicating that as much authority as the next person.
Right.
And on the other side, you can find the same amount of stuff. And so it's like, what is true? Where is the level of people that have gone in and had training or developed expertise in a specific field that then we can rely on. Because there is a lot of, all right, well, we don't want to necessarily blindly follow because we know how that works because people love control. And so it's this constant like dynamic of trying to figure out, okay, how do we manage that? But I still go back to, hey, if this person has gone in, like for instance, I studied social media comment sections. I'm probably one of what? I don't know, a few handful of people that has really dove into Facebook comment sections and incivility and how that influences. I probably have a little bit of a leg up on other people, just like I wouldn't consider myself a medical expert, but I could go in on social media and claim whatever I want. And so I think that has been challenging. So having that awareness and understanding of, hey, I am aware that there are tons of people that have all these opinions, and let me go build relationships with people. That's ultimately what I found in my research. Man, go find the people you know, like, and trust, have genuine, authentic human relationships, and go to your friend that's an expert. Hey, are these reputable sources? What have you found? Can you send me some more peer-reviewed or whatever you want to call it resources that I can know are trusted that then I can make an educated decision on?
I love that. It does seem to be, I don't want to go like full on boomerang or anything like that, but a lot of people think that technology in general, but AI I think has just heightened this fear, is that somehow it's diminishing or eliminating or leading to a diminished value of our humanity. I strongly oppose that thought. For a multitude of reasons, but I'd be curious. It sounds like what you're seeing is this shift back towards, I need to be able to, at least like you and I, we've never met in person, but we've had a couple conversations now. I believe that you are not a hologram, at least for now. We'll see how that continues. It's up for debate, and I'll be weighing in periodically throughout the conversation with my impressions. I didn't like that answer. Okay, hologram. We're back on hologram side. We're going to be taking votes right below. Yeah. Everybody cast your votes. Call in 555-4444. But do you think that while technology has done a lot of great things, and I think it ultimately will, do you think that there is this bigger push, this swing with the generation, especially with you and I, we have a Generation Alpha kids, do you think that they're going to have a stronger tie to these relational bonds? They're not going to be trying to escape into the internet and all these things because it's going to be surrounding them. It's almost not even novel to them anymore.
I certainly hope so. And I think it really does come down to the intentionality that we have in raising them, right? So you have a lot of, let's just call it millennial parents, right? That are a lot more hands-on than, say, generations in the past of, hey, it's the age-old joke, the millennial dad taking their kids to the park, and it's like, what in the world? Yeah. And I think that's a normal thing nowadays. And so I'm hopeful that that will, not that it's a generational curse, that's not the right thing, that's just the word that popped into my brain, but that there is that push of, hey, we're doing things as a family unit, and building those relationships. Even I think COVID amplified this, a push for more of those, hey, neighborhood communities. Even in our, we're at a hangout house in our neighborhood where everyone comes down to, like, and so we're just kind of at the bottom of the hill, right? And so we have tons of good relationships with our neighbors. And so we have that, hey, in the afternoon, we're going out and playing outside and interacting with our neighbors and having conversations, supporting each other in our businesses. Like, it's come to that human-centered approach. And yeah, technology is a huge part of that. I work in technology. I love technology. Right. But it's still, you can't build the foundation on that. The foundation for thousands, however long back you want to go in history, it's been based on human relationships.
I love that. I think that maybe that's a point we drill in on. But what you were just saying reminds me of, it was Sunday evening, a group of us that have been friends for a long time and knew each other before we all had kids, and now we've got a couple of litters of them running around, and they were all swimming in the pool, and we're talking and catching up because we hadn't seen each other in a while. And one couple had moved not too long ago, and the wife, she was just telling me and my wife, yeah, like we really like the house. It's worked out really well, but we've been really pleased with the neighborhood because, and they've chosen this last year to homeschool their daughters, and they said, yeah, that's working well for us. And there's been some cool things relationally with the kids they've discovered. But they said, but there's these kids that are around the same age in the neighborhood. And same thing, that hangout house, that they get home off the school bus at 4 o'clock and everybody rushes out and they're just playing and roaming. And I used to do that too. And then it feels like, I don't know, we just started watching too many serial killer documentaries or what, but everybody was like, nope, I'm inside. I'm isolated. I've got my AirPods. I need it hyper-personalized. I can't share the experience in a really weird way. They think it's weird. And again, and this sounds like a weirder leap, but there's a guy that my wife and I, we play Halo together. That's something that we've done since we were dating. Yes. And little known fact, the my logo is a hexagon because the hexagon is on Master Chief's helmet and it's infinitely scalable. And that's where I got it from. So people think like, oh, that's a really cool geometry. Yeah, it's because I like Master Chief. I love to sneak those little things in there.
You're a nerd, is what you are.
Yeah. We'll call it what it is.
I'm trying to prove I'm not a hologram.
Yeah. It's like holograms are nicer than that. And he really gave the business to Kenny. But we were playing and we've made friends with this one guy, and he's working on becoming a teacher, and he works in the school, and he has a daughter who's like 8 or 9, and but they're the hangout house. He goes, in our neighborhood, there's always kids coming in, and some of the kids are from the school. So you hear them. They're like, hey, Mr. Johnson. It's like, hey, like he's sitting there. He's like shooting people in the face with us. But he's like, kids are always running through our house and doing this thing. And I'm like, man, that's really refreshing to hear, because I don't see or hear about it anymore. But what I think is interesting, this return to, Let's get out in the community. Let's build relationships. That sounds counter to what we would see in the news online in comment section about how, I do believe that there are huge divisions, especially here in the United States where you and I live. But I sometimes wonder, is it as bad as it's made out to be? Because when I hear things about, like, we got a hangout house, we got that, like, that doesn't sound like the world as it's painted in a lot of the major media news outlets, or even the smaller independents or just wackadoos with podcasts, what have you believe. Is that, whether from research or just things that you're noticing, obviously you're in technology and get to come across a lot of interesting businesses and people. Are we more invested, and are we holding relationships a little higher now? Are we trending that way, or are things as divided as they've been made out to be?
Well, it's a good question, because it ties directly into really a lot of my research. So I studied, to give just a quick rundown, first I was going to try to solve all world problems. I was like, I'm going to figure out social media and why people are so rude. It's like, and my dad was like, who has his PhD? I said, dude, you just need to get your dissertation done. Work on the world problems later. I said, you watch me. I will do it. And so, but then I got wise and picked Facebook. And so narrowed down to that, and then picked news organizations and their comment sections. And so analyzed Facebook comment sections for Fox News, Washington Post, tried to get a wide range of conservative, liberal, and then also went into their comment sections on their website. I wanted to compare and contrast between Facebook and a social media structure and the structure of their online comment sections. And so I grabbed national sites and, very specific, grabbed an organization in Utah and an organization in Portland. So very wide spectrum. And I started to go in, and one of the key findings that I found was the way they title specific articles is interesting, right? Because it tends to invoke emotion, right? Because emotion leads to engagement. And that's clicks. The end all be all in the media game, right? And so, especially on social media, because the more engagement they have, the more people that are spending time on their site, seeing their ads, like blah, 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 blah. It's just how they monetize things. And so then the way the structure on Facebook specifically, you got a little bit of it on the websites, but Facebook specifically, like on websites, a lot of times it's just you can comment. A lot of times it was a fake name, whereas Facebook is tied to a real identity, which was interesting. And then a lot of times you can only just like a comment or something. Whereas on Facebook, you have this well-rounded approach of, hey, I'm going to be angry at this comment. I'm going to like this comment. I'm going to heart this comment. I'm going to laugh at this comment. I'm going to be whatever it is, be sad at this comment. There's all sorts of different reactions. And that adds a level of emotionality towards, hey, I can mock somebody's comment and people can see that. So if that's the overwhelming thing. So then all that engagement, which is typically more emotional content. So let's just take the comment sections, for instance. The more something is engaged with, the more it's going to rank that at the top because the system, the structure is like, well, that's clearly being engaged with. We need to put that at the top. And a lot of times that's the most controversial, politically charged, emotional content. So I think you're spot on because it gives us a unreal perspective on how the world is because most people are not that way. We're very balanced, moderate people that are, if you may differ than me politically, we can still sit down and have an awesome conversation. But if I saw something on Facebook and saw some crazy comment, I'm like, well, I know Kyle is this type. He believes this type of thing. So he clearly is like that. It's like we have gotten to that point in social media, whereas in our neighborhood, we have totally different people that are hanging out with us at our house. And we don't even think twice about it because we're neighbors. We have that commonality. So I think social media adds a level of complexity into, and it allows us to overgeneralize. And it's like, man, the more I found, I'm like, I think people are a lot closer together than we realize, but social media and the political climate that we have in America. And I was also doing my research literally right before the election, which is just the most politically charged time in America. But I think there is something to be said about just how much that influences the way we perceive where America is. In reality, I don't think it's quite to that extreme.
It sounds like it validates the case that the most extreme in any group tend to be the loudest, and then we overgeneralize based on the minority within a people group. Because it's okay to say, hey, I have my beliefs, you have yours, I have my worldview, you have yours. It doesn't preclude us from getting along and being civil. But when we look at the loudest, and then it's like, well, I guess I'm part of that group, and now they're going to think that about me. And, even though loud people inside of my whatever group I might affiliate with, if I'm not extreme, if I am moderate, then suddenly I'm outside of the in group I was a part of.
Yes.
So it's further alienation, which in both cases is just like wildly unhealthy. And that's a polite way to do it or say it. I would say it's just, it's not borderline, it's outright stupidity. But loud, extreme, and negative are easier to monetize than, hey, look how similar we are.
Yeah.
And then it swings back the other way to where you're in an echo chamber and your ideas are never challenged. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think in a lot of, like, whether it's education or something else, we've lost the ability to hold opposing ideas and to debate ideas and not each other.
Yes.
Which is disappointing to me because my degree while in speech communication had an emphasis in debate, and I love a good argument, but finding people who can argue, which an argument's just a statement meant to persuade and counter somebody else's idea. It doesn't mean yelling, screaming, fighting, whatever negative you might associate with it, but I love arguing. It's like, let's debate ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, and I might learn something. You might learn something. Yes. We may not change our ideas entirely, but maybe we'll consider something different than we did before, which I just think leads to healthier humans and healthier societies. So the other part, which I love that you studied comment section, I think you could lump in, since I talked about online gaming, is people who have a mic on online gaming.
That's a whole nother PhD.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'll do mine in.
Yes.
It was, people are so willing to pop off and say things that if they were standing in front of you, never would. Like, there's some really bold 12-year-olds online.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But even some weird and creepy people, like some guy sent my wife a message after a game. And I was like, what? Would you say this if in person?
Right.
He's like, I run a Discord for mothers and maidens. And I was like, what?
Dude.
And he called her darling. And I was like, that's weird. I ended up posting it in a Facebook group and it blew up and got 900 comments. And
oh,
like
wow.
1,300. But dude, you want to talk about charged? Man, all over the spectrum of emotions.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where, like, would we do this if we had to, even if we were on video face-to-face, would we behave this way in a way that was productive and mutually beneficial?
Yeah.
Or because I get to hide between a gamer tag, an avatar, or something else.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe I can say stupid things out loud. Like, that's why I told somebody recently, it's like, we need to bring shame back into our society. You need to feel shame about some of the things you say and do in public.
Yeah.
It used to keep people in line. That and if you really popped off and did something dumb, you got punched in the face. And the threat of that kept you in check.
Yeah.
Am I advocating for violence? Not necessarily.
And that's for debate.
I'd be happy to debate that. That's my PhD. It's going to be the role of the threat of physical violence in modern civility.
Please let me be in your defense. I would love to see you defend that.
And by the way, this is the clip someone is going to take, and I am going to be canceled in 3 to 5 years with this. So
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you just sat by and
I am a hologram. I am not.
Don't lump me in with him. Well, I think, one, there's a lot that I could continue to dig into here. I think we could end up with a Joe Rogan-esque podcast and go 3.5 hours on some of these topics. But, Cam, if somebody's listening and they're like, man, okay, I'm a leader, I'm a parent. And maybe they are somebody who, you know, and everybody has their own ideas and values here about, I'd love to be an active member in my community, whatever that might mean for them. I've been feeling some of these same things too. I've been observing some of these same things too. And I'd like to be a positive influence and contributor in these scenarios, whether as a parent, a spouse, or a community member, whatever it is, whether it's from your research or just your own thoughts here lately, as you've been processing, what's a baby step someone could take in the next 24 hours without spending any money or very little of it to be more positive in terms of the communication and balancing that human technology paradigm?
Yeah, I would say it's so easy to send that text or send that DM or send that Slack. Let's just cover all the, and instead, whether you pick up the phone, if it is more of a distant relationship, or go across the street, or set up that coffee meeting and dialogue in a way where you're adding more elements of communication in. I think that is, to me, I'm not going to just prophetically say that we're on the brink of extinction of communication, but there is a level of, I see so many people taking elements out where they're just going to a text-based thing where I read and it's an asynchronous thing where I read text and then in my own time respond an hour later, and then they read text and respond an hour later. There's no emotion in that conversation and there's no connection. And so the more elements of communication that I can add in. So right now we're on video, right? So you can see me, you can see my crazy hand gestures. You can hear the tonality of my voice. You can go in and I'm bringing these things back in. The one thing that we're missing is being in the same room, but we've added as many as we can in this situation. And I think that is the baby step that I would err on that side. Instead of sending somebody a text, and I understand, depends on relational capital. If it's your best friend, you're going to text them. Like, I get that. But the more that we can go and push towards, hey, let's go sit down and have that conversation over coffee. Or, hey, why don't you come over and bring the kids over and let's go swimming together and dialogue on what you're going through. I think that will make society a better place. And that's an easy, easy, easy step to do.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I studied was about the, it was like the level of richness in communication, and each one has their own lane, but it sounds like, hey, push towards as close as you can get to that in person, that real time dynamic. You got all of the senses going at the same time. If you are going to be in person, take a shower, smell good, because that smell is a sense.
Yes.
It's an important one at that.
It is.
But I love that. And what I hear you saying is push for being effective as a over. If you have a choice between effective and efficient, a text message is efficient.
Right.
But it's may not be sufficiently effective to build connection. And we need to value that even in the face of all of the productivity gains and efficiency gains that technology brings.
Yeah.
I think we now have to be intentional about something that used to come naturally because we had no other choice.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a level of understanding, hey, this conversation has the potential to get deep. I think you got to factor in, let me be in the right situation. Because I mean, it's so easy to argue over social media comment sections or text. Mm-hmm. And at least for me, maybe you're different, but it has never gone well for me when I've tried to do that. And it's like whenever I actually sit down with somebody next to them on the couch or across the table from them, usually goes a little bit better. So that's what I would argue that is, we need more of that. And I think you have more of a chance to change the world if you do it one-on-one conversations versus going and making some viral posts on social media that people might emotionally react to. But I'm telling you, every single moment of change in my life, I can trace back to a one-on-one conversation that I had with somebody in person.
I love that. I'll end with this because you said something that reminded me of Brené Brown spoke at Inbound. I think it was in 2017 is I got to go and I heard her speak. And she said one of the best quotes I've ever heard that stuck with me, which is, it's hard to hate people up close. Which obviously implies that it's very easy when you distance yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go be loving. That doesn't have to be weird, but go be loving up close this week. If you're listening, bridge that gap. You can transform any method of communication just one notch up where appropriate. So, Cam, if people want to know more about you, more about your work, obviously you mentioned technology, you work for 90.io. Where can people find out more about you, the company, and or anything else that you direct them to?
Absolutely. So LinkedIn's pretty easy to find me. It's just Cam Lawson should come up. The actual URL is CamLawson90. So if you want to search that way, but should pull up. Happy to connect. I'm all over LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. Send me a message and let's set up a Zoom call and actually talk.
Hot dang.
There you go. I think my scheduling link is in there, so you can actually do that from my profile. And then if you want to learn more about 90, which is really a cloud-based business operating system, it's a structure that allows companies to go in and have a digital place that they can go in that enhances the human experience, right? It gives that structure for humans to be humans and do the best thing, have value and understand where they're going. So that's really where 90, so that website's going to be 90, the full word 90 spelled out, .io. So you can go in there, but obviously
we'll have those linked up.
Yeah, that's perfect. But hey, let's live out what let's talk about it. If people have questions, let's dialogue on it. So
I love it. Yeah. So if you have any questions for Cam, message him, find him on LinkedIn. I'm also all over LinkedIn and happy to answer anything, or you can email me. I think it's in the show notes somewhere. I don't know. I'll ask my editor. I just have the conversations. I don't actually do the thing. But thank you so much, Cam. I look forward to our next conversation. I'm sure it'll be just as fun and helpful to the listeners. Speaking of which, listeners, thank you so much for spending part of your day with myself and Dr. Cam here. We hope that it was a benefit to you. It stirred up your thinking. Again, we don't want to tell you how to think. We just want to invite you to maybe reconsider some of your opinions, some of your perspectives, and dig deeper into what makes a difference for you. if this did help you, I'd love you to write a comment, like, rate it, review it, whatever you can do. Speaking of algorithms, that gets it in front of more people who are looking for content like this. And that'd be an easy way for you to help somebody else on their leadership journey by helping it rise in the algorithms and get in front of them. And I would be really grateful. And I'm sure that person would be too. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you do. We'll see you.